Well, welcome to the first week of a brand new series called Wish You Were Here. And I know that's kind of a cryptic title, but here's where I pray and wish that you are, that you are at the place of fulfillment of God's promises in your life. Because this series is all about living in the promise and the place that God has for you. So we're going to dive right in today. But before I do that, I want to talk a little bit about the promises that God made to me and to my wife when we planted the church really almost 15 years ago. And the first one was Isaiah 58:12. This is like the hallmark verse for us as pastors and in planting. It was Isaiah 58:12 that says, "Those from among you will rebuild the ancient ruins. You will raise up the age-old foundation. You'll be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets in which to dwell." And that has been the foundation that we've used to build what it is that God's calling us to build, not our kingdom, but His. And honestly, in this past season, this past year and a half, to see all of the transformation that's happened in our community, most of it in a broken and devastated fashion because of all that we've walked through, this promise is more applicable now than ever before. And it is so easy to look at the brokenness of the world around us, regardless of whether that's a hurricane damage or that's the devastation that you've experienced because of what's happened in your family or at your workplace or in your life or wherever that may be. It is so easy to be sad and be broken because of the brokenness. But when we live in the promise, we know that God calls us to do what? To rebuild, to raise up, to repair, so that we can restore streets. We're making a place for people to live in. That was the first promise. And I pray, I wish that you, my wish for you, my prayer and hope for you is that you're in the place of promise. The second verse that God gave to us in Isaiah 58:12 was the one that God gave me. John 11:40 is what He gave my wife, which is so simple. "Did I not say to you that if you believe, you'll see the glory of God?" I want faith to rise up in you, that you can believe that in spite of everything that you've walked through, everything that you've experienced, everything that you've seen that's broken and battered, that you can know that the glory of God is coming and you have faith in that. And so I want you to embrace God's promise. But here's three things before we even start this series that I want you to get. The first one is this: you need to know God's promises. Like, you need to know what they are. The only way that you are going to know what God's promises are to you is when you read the letter that He's already written you. It's called the Bible. Pick it up. It's awesome and amazing. So read it. Okay, life verses for me. Like, these are God's promises. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your path." That is a promise that He's given me. Jeremiah 29:11. "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, not for calamity and destruction, but to give you a future and a hope." I got to choose to believe in faith and stand on that promise when there's calamity all around me. And then Romans 8:28, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose." This is a third promise. I've got three life verses that are really just promises that I'm standing on, that God is directing my path, that He doesn't have calamity and destruction for me. And when I experience it, if I just trust Him, He's going to turn it all around for good. These are my promises I'm standing on. What are yours? Do you know the promises of God? Get into the Word. You got to know them. That's the first thing. The second thing, you have to understand God's promises. Here's what you have to understand. He will fulfill them, but they're conditional on you living in them. Number one, you got to know what they are. Number two, you got to understand that He's going to fulfill them, but it depends on you living in them. And here's the third thing. You need to pursue God's promises. Run hard after them. Seek Him. Listen for the whisper of His Holy Spirit as you're reading the Bible. Go, "God, help me. I know a lot of people have trouble understanding the Bible." Well, guess what? God will whisper to you and bring clarity, but you have to know when you read, "Lord, you're going to speak to me." And it may not be in that sitting or the next sitting or the next 20 sittings. But if you keep praying that prayer and standing on faith, I promise you, God will speak to you. He'll open up that scripture to you. Listen, I was 14 before the scriptures ever came alive, but my mama and daddy drug me to church every day of my life. For 14 years, I really didn't get anything. I'd made a decision for Jesus at 8, but the Bible didn't make sense. I didn't know God's promises until, boom, 14 years old. On a challenge from my youth pastor, he changed my life. God did, because my youth pastor challenged me to read the Bible and ask God to show me something, and he did. It's Galatians 1:10. I still have the Bible where I marked in it, because it was a promise that if I choose him, I'm going to be his servant. He's going to use me, Galatians 1:10. Don't please people, please God. So this series is about God's biggest promises, and they're all wrapped up really in just a couple verses. This is God, I really believe, God's biggest promises for all of us, and it's in the Old Testament. It's in Exodus chapter 6. It's where God is speaking through Moses, the greatest prophet of all, to the nation of Israel that has been in slavery for over 400 years. And if you know the story and you've seen the Prince of Egypt, God shows up to Moses and he tells Moses, you need to go and you need to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And in Exodus chapter 6, God speaks to Moses and tells him, this is what you need to tell the nation of Israel, the descendants of Israel, those that have been in bondage for over 400 years. And this is what it says in Exodus 6, verses 6 through 7. Here it is. It says, therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with many acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I'm the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. This is God's biggest promise, not just to the nation of Israel at that time, but for all of us, because here's what he's promising, and this is what we're going to go through in the next several weeks. He's promising that he's going to bring us out. Bring us out from what? From slavery, from the slavery, not of Pharaoh. We're not under Pharaoh anymore, but listen to me. So when we are born into this broken world, we are born with a curse of sin in operation. I believe people want to do what's right and want to do what's good, but there is a sin nature that keeps us from doing that, and it enslaves us. But God's speaking to you today the promise of salvation, that he will bring you out. He will save you from that curse of sin. He will save you from the bondage that comes with it. That's the second promise, deliverance, where he says, salvation, I'll bring you out. But deliverance says, I will free you from being slaves. See, because he says, I'm going to take you out of slavery, and then I'm going to take slavery out of you. That's the second promise, deliverance. The third one is, I will redeem you. The third promise is restoration. That's what God promises us, restoration. This isn't just for the Israelites that had been in slavery. It's for us today, salvation, deliverance, redemption, and restoration. I'll redeem you. And then the fourth one, he says, I will take you as my own people. We become part of his family. He takes us as his people. We are no longer a part of this world. Though we live in it, we are not of it, because we, when we stand on and embrace and live in the promise of God, we become his people. We become a people who've been saved from the curse of sin. And that doesn't simply mean like, that's right, I'm going to heaven when I die. The moment that I die, I reap my eternal inheritance. Let me tell you, salvation and a proper understanding of that, we reap that eternal inheritance the moment we make a decision to allow God to come in and deliver us and bring us out from the sin that we were in. That moment. So we're going to talk about that promise, the promise of salvation. How awesome is that? Hey, Moses, I need you to tell all of these slaves, I am the Lord. I'm going to bring you out from under the yoke, the burden, the whip, the rod of the Egyptians. Moses, tell them. Tell them, I'm the Lord. I'm going to bring you out. Moses, you need to let them know, I'm the Lord. If you keep reading, and you know the story, you understand when God tells him that, Moses is like, that's great, but like, who am I going to tell them that you are? Because remember, they're in a polytheistic society. I mean, you talk of the Egyptians had a god for everything, the sun god, the moon god, there's all sorts of gods. And so the Lord, the one true God, is speaking to Moses. You need to tell him, I am the Lord. You are who? Who are? What's your name? And he says, tell him, I'm the I am. He's the I am. Lord, who's going to be the one to deliver? Who's going to be the one to take me from the bondage that I'm in? Who's going to be the one that can take my depression? Who's going to be the one that can take my addiction? The Lord says, I am. I am. Whew. Here's the thing. We don't have to live in the place where we feel enslaved, where we feel addicted, where we feel exhausted, where we feel empty. Let me remind you that burnout in life does not happen from what you are doing. It happens from what you're not doing. And when you're not living out the promises in the place that God has for you, the natural byproduct is the result of sin in this world, which is bondage, which is devastation and destruction. God doesn't want you to live in that. I don't want you to live in that. I don't want to live in that. Though you know what? It's pretty easy to go back to that place and give in to those feelings. Here's the thing. Like, he delivered the nation of Israel out of slavery and brought them ultimately, though it was a long journey, and brought them to the place of promise. But here's the thing, they complained all along the way. And the truth for us is this, that though we can say, yes, Lord, I believe, yes, Lord, I follow, he allows us the freedom at any time to go back and just kind of turn back to what we came from. Just as the Egyptians began to, the Israelites began to complain about when they were in Egypt, all of the good things, some of those things are tempting. And it's easy to go back to the place where you're empty, where you're exhausted. Where you feel enslaved again, which is why it's so important we remember what God promises us over and over. One of the themes that we see in the Bible is remember. We see two themes that are just really paramount. There's quite a few. There's a theme of redemption through all of the Bible, that he takes the junk that we walk through and he turns it around. That's Romans 8:28, my third promise. That he talks about in Jeremiah 29:11, my second promise, that he doesn't have calamity and destruction. That's not his heart for us. So we need to realize that when we walk through that, that's not what he wants or has for us. But we need, and then I'll go back to my first promise in Proverbs 3:5-6, that he'll direct our path if we'll let him. So when we end up at the place where we feel like we're empty, we're exhausted, or we're enslaved again, we need to remember. See, there's always a counterfeit. There's always a counterfeit. When God calls us to remember, the enemy wants us to pitch our tents in the past and live in that place. We're not called to do that. We're not called to live in the past. And it's funny how when the enemy reminds us of our past, he always remembers it. He reminds us of the good things, so that we're just remembering the good things. Just like if you know this story, when God ultimately delivered the nation of Israel, they're like, you remember when we had onions and leeks, and we had food, really good food, every day. I'm like, yeah, but like, you also got beat with harsh taskmasters, couldn't make your own decisions, and were living in slavery, working 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, basically. It's amazing. But God's called us to remember that first promise, salvation. How do we get into bondage? Broken world, sin, broken nature. We want to do good, but we end up sinning. Okay, well, here's the thing. How do we get out? How do we get out of that bondage? How do we embrace that promise of salvation? We have to make the first move. We have to, number one, make the move. What does that mean? That means I need to turn from my way and turn to God. Turn from my way and turn to God. Like, I need to repent from the pleasure of sin. I need to hear the voice of the Lord that's calling out. Remember, Moses was speaking this to the nation where he says, the Lord says, I'm the Lord. I will bring you out. You have to turn from your way and turn to the one who's calling you to repent from the pleasure of sin. Sin's fun for a little while. And the enemy wants us to think that there's never any pain associated with it. But there is. The Bible's very clear. It says the wages of sin is death. That's what it pays. Sin pays death. It also goes on to say that same verse, but the free gift of life is the free gift of eternal life comes through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's life in him, life that lasts forever. That's not just about what happens when we die. It's the right here and now. How do we get to the place where we stand on the promise of salvation? We make the move, we repent, we turn from our sin, and we turn to the one who's calling out to us saying, I'm going to bring you out from that. That's death. Leave it alone. Here's the second thing. We have to let it go. Like, how do I get out of that bondage? I turn towards Jesus. He's the deliverer. He's the one who's saving me from that life of death and sin. But I have to let it go. What does that mean? Just as when we repent, that's turning from the pleasure of sin, letting it go is turning from the pain of sin. I'll be honest, that's kind of a little harder because it's like all of those things that were done to you from other people's sin end up being darts in your soul. Or maybe you've done some things that you're really shameful of and they're darts in your soul. You got to let that go. You got to release them. I pull that dart where that person betrayed me, where they lied about me, where they cheated on me, where they abandoned me, where they neglected me, where they spoke ill of me. You got to pull those things out and forgive them and release them. And just as you've turned to Jesus, and I pray that you said, Jesus, I turn to you. Forgive me of my sin. You have to be willing to forgive other people of their sin against you. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. How do we stand on the promise of salvation? We turn to Jesus. We make the move. We repent from the pleasure of sin, but we let the pain of sin go. That is active. That is, I remove the pain, like the dart of the enemy. God, forgive them and release them, and you let that dart go. You pull it out. God, forgive. That's forgiveness. It's an act of the will. It's not a feeling, because that it hurts. Lord, I forgive them where they hurt me. Yeah, you pull it out. Lord, I release them. You let that go. Shame. I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I said that. I can't believe I was involved in that. Lord, I forgive myself. I let it go. Let the pain go. And here's the third and final thing. You commit your life to Jesus. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I want you to stand in the place where you know God's spoken this to you. I'm the Lord. I'm going to bring you out from under the yoke of sin. I'm going to bring you to a place of freedom. How does that happen? How does that begin? Making the move to turn from the things that pet thing that you know you shouldn't do, but you love. You repent and you turn to Jesus. You examine your own heart and you pull out those darts. You let go of those darts that were pain from others and shame, pain from yourself. Let them go. Then you make a commitment. There's something powerful when you pray, Jesus, I turn to you. I receive your forgiveness. I forgive those that have hurt me. I'm yours. Take me out. He does. He removes the bondage of sin. The wages of sin is death. But Jesus took that death on the cross. But he didn't stay dead. He rose again to bring life to you and to me. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. You have to be willing to let the old you die, surrendered to the purpose of God in Jesus. So that just like Jesus rose to life again as a picture for you and for me, that our lives will be raised up in a new life. We're still in a broken world, but we don't have to walk broken anymore. We can walk in the place of fulfillment. That's standing on the first promise that God made all the way back in Exodus chapter 6. And it applies to you and me today. And just as the I Am was the deliverer then, the I Am is saying to you, here I am. Trust me. I pray that you do. I pray that you do. And if that's you and this message stuck in your heart in a good way, I want to pray with you right now. Maybe you need to pray that prayer of surrender. Commit to the Lord. Say, Jesus, I commit to you. I turn from what I love and the thing I know it's wrong, and I turn to you, Jesus. Forgive me for that. And Jesus, I forgive those that have hurt me. I release them. I release them. I confess my unforgiveness towards them, but I choose to forgive them. And Jesus, I ask you to remove. I'm removing that shame from me. Remove that from me. I'm yours, Jesus. My life is yours. Amen. And listen, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, let me tell you, he heard you. And as a pastor, I heard you. I know this is a camera, but I also know that God has a purpose and a plan for you. Your next step would be, if this is the first time that's happened, man, be baptized. You can click the link in the chat box beneath and you can show when the next baptism is. But I want to connect you with relationships and resources that can help you grow. I want to see you become all that God's intended for you to be and to walk out Exodus 6, 6, and 7, all of it. So look forward to seeing you next week. Love to hear from you this week. God bless. Bye-bye.